The Mechilta is the ancient Medrash Halacha in Sefer Shemos. It goes back to the Tanaim, the early Amoraim. There's Mechilta and Shemos, Sifra and Vayikra, and Sifrei and Bamidbar and Devarim. There's a comment in the Mechilta, and I got a comment, although it's primarily a Medrash Halacha. The Mechilta talks about the motivation of Yonah HaNavi, Yonah ben Amittai. What prompted Yonah, a Navi, who by definition, Navi is someone who has deep emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Navi is someone who has a deep respect that goes without saying for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What prompts Yonah HaNavi to initially flat out ignore Tzav Hashem? HaKadosh, all human beings ignore Tzav Hashem sometimes. We do we do the wrong thing. But we imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamash spoke to us and told us, do this, we imagine that we would definitely listen. Well, so Yonah HaNavi, what prompts Yonah HaNavi to flat out ignore a direct Tzav Hashem? There are different answers to that question. The Mechilta very famously, quoted by a number of the Rishonim on Yonah, the Mechilta very famously says, an answer which also provides us with an important larger principle that may be have seasonal relevance. The Mechilta says that Yonah was taking one for the team. Yonah recognized that he was doing a chet, but he thought that he should still do this in order to protect Klal Yisrael. Because he said, Klal Yisrael, so many Nevi'im have been sent by HaKadosh Baruch to Klal Yisrael, to machzor them b'tshuva. And generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century, they're not listening. Yonah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends me to the Umos HaOlam in Nineveh, in the capital city of Ashur. If I succeed in my mission of causing them to be Chozrim B'tshuva, so then it's going to create good for them, but it's going to create a great kitrug against Klal Yisrael. By contrast, Klal Yisrael will look even worse. So Yonah thought that he should take one for the team, such strong Avos Yisrael, that he'll do an Aveir in order to protect Klal Yisrael. Well, Yonah, one of the lessons of Nevuas Yonah, obviously, is that it does not make sense to think, it is absurd to think that you can morally outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you that's what you should do, then that is what you ought to do. That is the best thing that you could do, despite your cheshbonos, that L'shem Shamayim, we're going to save Klal Yisrael, put it aside. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do that, as was the message, perhaps, the triumph of our Ravino in the Akedah. So that's ultimately what Yonah comes to learn. But that concept that was Yonah's premise may well be a correct concept. That indeed there is a kitrug in Shamayim when Bnei Yisrael are failing at an area that the Umos HaOlam are succeeding at morally, that does indeed create a kitrug. Yonah's mistake was to therefore use it as a rationale to ignore Tzav Hashem. But the concept, L'chore, is a correct concept. So around a quarter of a century ago, the first time I think they'd ever heard of Blachman speak, if I remember correctly, it was Thanksgiving season. It was a Sunday evening of Thanksgiving weekend. And he made the comment that this idea has relevance to Avos Hashem of a Jew at the end of the month of November. He said, if Umos HaOlam, if the culture that surrounds us is highlighting giving thanks, a sense of Hakaras HaTov in general, a sense of Hakaras HaTov to the divine in particular, so he said, maybe there's a kitrug in Shamayim if we don't up our game, if we don't up our standards, if we're not focused enough on HaKaras HaTov, in particular HaKaras HaTov to Ribbono Shalom, HaKol HaTov HaShargim Alanu, so maybe there's a, it's always wrong not to be a makir, for a Jew not to be a makir tov. So, but maybe Thanksgiving season, there's a particular kitrug in Shamayim, Umos HaOlam that surround us are focused on HaKaras HaTov, and we're not. So that idea of the Mechilta, he thought had relevance. Interesting concept. And maybe that's relevant for the beginning of February as well. If the Umos HaOlam are focused on certain Midos Tovos, maybe there's an added Kitrug and Shamayim if we are not at least as focused on those Midos Tovos and applying them in proper, productive, holy ways. So to think briefly about three that are certainly a part of the quote-unquote avoda for general American culture of Super Bowl Sunday. So one is a sensitivity to the need for hachanas. Many people, the Mahadrin, and I say this only slightly, tongue-in-cheek, the Mahadrin aren't just going to show up to the game, but the smoker is already going for hours, if not days before, getting all the basar, let's leave it basar, ready for the Mesibas, for the Su'udas Super Bowl. There's a tremendous amount of focus on hachanas. And transmission of intellectual hachanas, analyzing, thinking, shloshim yom kodem achah, you don't just show up, you have to think about it, you have to have practical preparations. Number two, many people have great mesiras nefesh to watch the game. So today the weather is not so bad, just a little bit of snow. Sometimes it's mamish, frigid, and people get tickets to spend enormous amounts of money on tickets. You're zoiche to have a ticket to watch the game live. Again, if the game is down south, so then the weather is often nicer. When the game is in Green Bay, when the game is down south, the weather is nicer. In a year when the game is the Packers are hosting the Super Bowl, there's serious mysterious nefesh that people have in order to, and they could have watched the game, they could have listened to the game from the comfort of their own home, but no, the Mahadrin is that you go out there and Lahavdol Alfi Avdalos, like Yaakov Avinu says, Solavan, I was out there, the snow and the rain and the cold, and Mesiras Nefesh. And number three, there is extraordinary Hislavos that accompanies the way in which people watch the Super Bowl. It's not Stam, just watch a game. It's with incredible energy and enthusiasm. You're up and you're out of your seat and you're stamping, you're jumping, and you're crying and you're laughing and you're clapping. Mamish, but Hislavos. So maybe in a Hanami, and I say this somewhat seriously, maybe there's a kitrik in Shamayim, a little bit of a kitrik in Shamayim, if we don't work on those midos, as I said before, applied to truly valuable things. This is a time when we should, it's all the more important that we be sensitive to make an achanas for what truly matters. It's a time when we should absorb from the culture around us the need for mesiras nefesh, and the capacity, sometimes we think, it's too hard. If you care enough, you push yourself, and you do the things, you'll be out there in the cold, and you'll be out there early, and you'll be out there late, and you'll be uncomfortable or to do the things you really care about. So maybe now is the time to develop that sense of mesiras nefesh for the things that truly do matter. And the sense of hislavos. Do we just do ratzon Hashem? Or is it b'chol kochos? Is it with excitement? Is it just, we're going through the motions? Or we're going through the motions with extraordinary emotion as well? And we're enthusiastic about it, and our heart is in it. And the truth is, all of those three elements that I just mentioned, hachanos, mesiras nefesh, and hislavos, all three are items that the Ramchal discusses over the course of the prakim of the midah of Zrizus, the midah that we're about to head into Mirtz Hashem tomorrow morning. All those three are part of the world of Zrizus. Expressions of Zrizus, aspects of Zrizus, and the value and the need for upping the energy and amping up the enthusiasm in our avos Hashem to do it like we mean it, to do it like we care. So that's part of the, as Rav Blachman was suggesting about the end of November, Hakaras HaTov should be all the more a part of a Jew's Avo at the end of November. So I say, again, only somewhat tongue-in-cheek, Zrizus, in all Bechol Anafeha, the various expressions and applications of Zrizus, it's a day to be mizbonin on how much Zrizus, to look in the mirror, how much Zrizus do I have for the things that really, really, really do matter. And then I would say, two questions to consider. And then we'll turn our attention to Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Chav Tes, the Sugya of Ritzufas. But two questions to consider today. To ask yourself honestly, honest questions. I mean this totally seriously, without a trace of sarcasm. If you're a thinking Jew, I think these are two questions to ask yourself today. And number one is, if you're a thinking Jew who plans to watch the Super Bowl, so I think you need to ask yourself, number one, the following question, which is, why is it that I'm watching the game? By which I mean the following. I forget, I haven't checked the numbers, But like the number, or the estimate of how many Americans watch the Super Bowl is, I think, closer to 100 million than 50 million. I could be wrong, but it's something like 70, 80 million. Those are the stats that I saw. An incredible number of people. I haven't checked, but I imagine that a typical NFL game does not warrant anywhere near that number of viewers. If I dafka watch this game, why? If every Sunday, so everyone needs a little bit of relaxation. Everyone needs a little bit of unwinding. Leaving aside the content of a football game, for that you can look at Rabbi Twersky's lyrical piece that he wrote several years ago for Torah Web, in which he talks about the gracefulness of baseball and the violence of football. But leaving aside content, if you're going to tell me, look, that's what I do, that's the kosher relaxation, I need a little time, a little downtime. So what I do to relax is I watch a couple minutes of football. Okay, so let's just, assuming that's a kosher way to relax, Seder. But if you don't watch any other game, just the Super Bowl, and which is clearly true for a significant percentage of the United States of America, judging by the numbers, so the question, why are you dafka watching it? You should ask yourself honestly, why am I dafka watching this game? Is it because this game is that much more enjoyable to watch? Maybe, because you're pitting the two most skilled teams, and they have the most on the line, and therefore the play will be of such higher quality, and it'll be that much more enjoyable to watch than any other football game, perhaps. Or is it that I'm watching because, well, that's what everyone does, because that's Minig America, because everyone watches the Super Bowl, and that's why I'm watching the Super Bowl. And so, worthy question to ask yourself, because merely doing something for no reason other than that's what the surrounding culture does, there's no gain, there's no value. Not that I enjoy this food that's popular in the United States of America because it happens to taste good, but or it happens to be convenient or happens to be enjoyable, but merely because that's what everyone else does. So there is a siman in Shulchan Aruch, Yerodei Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, dedicated to the Lav Doraisa of B'chukasem Lo Salechu, Chukazakum. And certainly, again, there's a three machlokas, Rishonim Achronim, between the Ran, the Maharik, and the Be'er Agra, in terms of what the parameters are of Chukasakim, how broadly or narrowly you define Chukasakim. But whether or not that is a violation of the letter of the law, Chukasakim, certainly to do something only because that's what everyone else around me does, not because I enjoy it, not because it's beneficial, but merely because, well, that's what everyone else is doing, it's certainly you have to ask yourself, am I at the very least in tune with not only the letter, but the spirit of the Chukasim Lo Salich. I think it's important to reflect on that. It's a good day to ask myself that honest question. You don't have to answer to any other human being. Just ask yourself that question and think about it. I think it's very, very valuable, his bonus, to spend 15 minutes thinking about that, 15 minutes by yourself, with a piece of paper and a pen, just to be misboning, number one. Number two is the following question. Ask yourself, and here's a way which, if you do plan to watch the Super Bowl, regardless of whether that's a once-a-year event or not, that was the first question for his bonus. The second of the two questions for his bonus is what one might deem, perhaps, to be a b'chol drechecha da'ehu opportunity. How can you leverage, should you choose to watch the Super Bowl, or part of the Super Bowl today, watch the whole Super Bowl, that's hours. Should you choose to at least watch part of the Super Bowl today, which I'm not advocating, but should you make that decision, see, here's an Avos Hashem opportunity that you can find within a B'chol Drachecha De'eyu opportunity, and maybe you can find eternal value in a mundane pursuit. And that is, I first came across this idea in the following context. I taught my second year teaching full-time at MTA, I taught 10th grade. And that year, JV hockey, MTA JV hockey, made it to the semifinals, I think. We were out, I went with the Hever to the semifinals. There were a lot of guys in the Shear on the team. And we were out in a third-party neutral space in the Five Towns for the game. And I was standing right behind the team. And there was one fellow who was very sweet and very refined and very focused on important things. and very, just by personality, very, very quiet. Different people, different personalities. So you have to be a very reserved fellow. During the last 90 seconds of the game, he was on the team. He was not on the court the last 90 seconds of the game. He was on the side of the team. And the last 90 seconds of the game, this erstwhile, very quiet, low-key young man was cheering and banging his stick like there was no tomorrow. Way louder than anyone else. The energy was unbelievable. So I said to him afterwards, Mamish, like a b'chol drechecha da'eyu opportunity. Usually the Rambam talks about b'chol drechecha da'eyu means I do a certain activity which is essentially neutral. If I'm aware of how it can enable my avos Hashem later, so I've converted it into that itself into avos Hashem. So Rambam says, if I eat stam because I'm hungry, nothing wrong with that. If the food is kosher, nothing right with it. If I don't just eat because I'm hungry, but I think, you know, but through eating, I'm powering my avos Hashem later, the eating itself becomes the mitzvah. I'm saying, you know, you go to the gym to work out. If you're not just doing it because, but this is a school of Arichas Yamim, that I should have a longer, healthier life to be able to raise children and grandchildren and learn and daven of v'chulu v'chulu, you've converted the time in the gym into absolute avos Hashem. Now he says, even sleeping, a guy goes to sleep. I go to sleep because I'm tired. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing right with that. It's neutral. I go to sleep, and for a couple of moments before I go to sleep, I consider the fact that I'm going to sleep now so that tomorrow I'll be able to accomplish X, Y, and Z. So that tomorrow I'll be a patient person. I won't snap at people. That tomorrow I'll be alert when I'm learning and davening. V'chulu, you've converted your sleep into avos Hashem. That's the usual type of b'chol drechecha da'eyu. So I said to this boy, 10th grader at the time, now he's obviously it's been many, many years since he was a 10th grader. I said to him, here's another type of b'chol drechecha da'eyu. From the banging the stick, the last 90 seconds of the game, so you discovered something about yourself that you might not have known that you had before. You discovered that you did something which was essentially neutral, but through it you discovered a koach that you had you didn't even realize that you had. And now you know that there's that hislavus within. The game, the last 90 seconds of the game, brought it out. Now that you know that you have that within you, so you know you can access it for truly valuable things. That's a different type of, different dimension of b'chol drechecha da'eyu. So that's something to ask ourselves, I think. Like to ask yourself, when you stamp and you get pumped, so you discover that you have that within yourself. And I think a worthy second question for his bonus is, what gets my blood rushing the most? What gets me on my feet the most? What gets me pumped the most? It's a valuable his bonus to ask yourself, what does that express about where I'm at? What does that express about where I'm at compared to where I would like myself to be? Every Jew is on a journey. That's the nature of life. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to keep growing and to have an onward, upward spiral of growth. So I think these are both worthwhile questions to power our hisboneness that can power growth forward. And I mean this very honestly, without a drop of sarcasm. I think they're honestly, and I think each of you is old enough and mature enough to actually embrace these questions for real. I think they actually are really useful opportunities to grow. To carve out time this afternoon to think. To think about, and I do mean it somewhat seriously, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but somewhat seriously, about I think Rav Blachman also meant it somewhat seriously, to apply that idea. In other words, if there are positive mitos in the surrounding general culture today that are maybe being used in other directions, so we should absorb those positive mitos and use them for truly valuable things. And moreover, to ask ourselves those two questions. Why do I do what I do? Which is bechlal, an important thing to ask yourself in general. That's the essence of Zeiris. And specifically, like to ask myself, like, why am I? What motivates me? What motivates me in general? What motivates me to watch Dafka this game? And to ask myself, you know, when do I get the most pumped? When does my blood rush the most? When do I get most on my feet, yelling and screaming? These are both valuable questions for growing thoughtful, honest, non-cynical B'nai Torah to ponder. And I think that pondering starts useful processes of growth that grow over time.